Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
President Trump and Joe Biden are back on the campaign trail today, and both are claiming victory in last night's final presidential debate. The talk was mostly civil as they answered NBC moderator Kristen Welker's questions about health care, race, climate change, and the coronavirus.
We have to recover. We can't close up our nation. We have to open our school, and we can't close up our nation, or you're not going to have a nation.
Vice President Biden, I want to talk broadly about strategy, though.
Can I respond to that?
30 seconds, please, and then I have a question.
No, number one, he says that we're learning to live with it. People are learning to die with it.
Let's bring in our Friday Politics Roundtable. Rick Klein is political director at ABC News, and Tolu Onuorunpa, White House reporter for The Washington Post. Good to have you both back. Thanks for joining us.
Great to be here.
Yeah, and Tolu, let's start with you. That was not like the first debate in Cleveland. Trump stayed focused. He didn't interrupt. And both men spoke at length. You could actually even call it a debate. But at this point, nearly 50 million people have voted. What was your takeaway?
Yeah, the debate yesterday was not quite as angry and animated as the first debate back in September, but it did unveil a lot of the major differences between the two candidates, as you would hope a debate would do. It at times got a little acrimonious, and President Trump wanted to use his time to attack Joe Biden as a career politician, as someone who's corrupt, who has all of these foreign business dealings in his family. I'm not sure that those punches really landed, especially since Biden was quick to strike back and attack President Trump for not releasing his tax returns, for his handling of the coronavirus pandemic, for how he has sowed division on racial issues. So the president ended up finding himself in the defensive position for a good chunk of the night, even as he was trying to change the course of the race by attacking Biden. Biden, according to the polls, is ahead, so he just needed to have sort of a standard okay night and not make any major mistakes. I think he was able to pull that off. But as you said, with more than 50 million people who have already voted, I'm not sure that last night's debate changed the tenor of the race very much. It seems like we're still at the status quo, which has the president right now behind.
Rick, one of the things that struck me is that there are just 11 days left in this election. Trump did show that he could focus last night. I wonder if you saw any echo of 2016 when Trump was trailing in the polls like he is now with just days to go. And then suddenly he gets very focused and turns it around and wins. Do you see any similarities there?
I think it is the 2016 playbook, and whether he can do it for another day is another story. But I thought even in the efforts to try to define Joe Biden as a Washington insider, as a corrupt guy that's gotten rich off of the backs of the American people, even with the surprise guest in the hall, all of it seemed very much out of the playbook that worked for him last time. I think there are a couple of things that are different now. One is Trump is the president, and he really has not shown very, very, very much discipline. He is the ultimate insider as the president. Joe Biden also serving notice that he is not Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders. I thought his close, where he talked about the character of the two men and the character of the nation, was particularly powerful and a pretty good distillation of where he stands and what his strength has been. He remains a relatively popular figure, and that's why the race has been as steady as it was. But I do agree that there are some fundamentals that are looking a little bit like the final close in 2016.
How about the issue, Tolu, about health care? Here is President Trump, what he said last night.
So I'd like to terminate Obamacare, come up with a brand new, beautiful health care. The Democrats will do it because
he's been talking about coming up with a plan for quite a while now, and he's had 4 years to do it. Was that a win for Biden?
Yeah, the Democrats and Joe Biden in particular want to be talking about health care as much as possible, in part because they know President Trump and the Republicans do not have a solid answer. They know that the Supreme Court is going to be hearing a case about Obamacare next month, and there is a real risk and a real fear among a number of Americans that they will lose the parts of Obamacare that they like, the protections for pre-existing conditions, the ability to get young adults covered under their parents' plans up until the age of 26, all of the essential health benefits that require insurers to cover things like cancer screenings and heart screenings that weren't covered before. And right now, President Trump has been saying, as you mentioned, we're going to come up with a great plan. Just trust me on this. a plan is coming soon. And every time he's asked about it, he does not provide any kind of details or any kinds of specifics about what exactly he would do if Obamacare is terminated. So it is something that Biden wants to be talking about. Trump did not do himself any favors during the debate by giving the same answer that he's always given, which is, I want to come up with a great plan. It's going to be less expensive. It's easy to say those things, but it's much harder to actually come up with a plan, and he hasn't done it over the last 4 years. So that is an issue that I expect Biden and the Democrats to continue to push between now and Election Day.
Rick, what about the issue of energy? Joe Biden said this about phasing out the oil industry.
Would you close down the oil industry? I would transition from the oil industry, yes.
Oh,
I would
that's
transition.
A big statement.
It is a big statement.
That's a
because
big statement.
I would stop.
Why would you do that?
Because the oil industry pollutes.
To which the president said he hopes that voters in Texas and Pennsylvania, Oklahoma and Ohio remember that. Actually, Pennsylvania and Ohio produce a lot more natural gas than they do crude oil. But does this create an issue for Joe Biden, Rick?
Oh, I think that's the biggest opening that Biden gave President Trump. Now, maybe it cuts in another direction, that this was the clearest statement coming from the left of Joe Biden's commitment to renewable sources and less emissions. He's been criticized from some of the environmental community. But the flip side is the Trump campaign views this as a major moment. They believe that Joe Biden essentially walked into a trap by conceding this. And they believe it will help them with a closing argument among voters in the Pennsylvanias and the Texases of the world. And whether that's right, with so many millions of Americans having already voted, whether you can get late traction on an issue, that proposition is going to be tested. I was surprised, frankly, that Joe Biden answered the question. It was toward the end of the debate. He kind of brushed it off, but he did. And you're seeing his campaign begin to explain and clarify exactly what that means. He is not looking to actually get rid of the oil industry, he says. The idea of transitioning away from it is something that's been going on for a long time. And it's now something that he's on the record saying that he, yes, does want to support.
Well, in fact, I spoke with some Pennsylvania voters this morning about this very thing, and they say, yes, in fact, it does matter to people very much there. So we'll see how much it affects the vote. Let's talk for a minute, if we could, more about President Trump. We knew that he was going to bring up Hunter Biden and these corruption allegations, unfounded, with his business dealings both in China and Ukraine. Rick, just sticking with you for a minute, it sounds like you were saying earlier that those didn't really land the way that the president might have wanted them to.
It was surprising to me that, and it may be a credit to Kristen Welker for keeping the debate moving, but you didn't have that set piece that we thought would play out. Mentions of the Bidens and the Biden family were kind of sprinkled throughout the debate, but you didn't walk away with a crystal clear understanding of what's going on. I think you had to kind of be in the weeds of the story even to understand some of the lingo the president was using. These allegations have emerged in such strange circumstances so late in the campaign. They're hard to get in the ether, but I actually thought the president was looking to do it in a more concise way than he ended up doing. And I'm not sure that is really enough information to move voters. Now, maybe the intention was just to make Joe Biden look like another insider and maybe convince some voters that it's not worth even taking their time to vote. But it didn't seem to me like something that is going to suddenly inject a late issue into this race.
Tolu, maybe it was because the ground rules for this debate had changed and maybe the mute button worked as it was intended to. A lot of people would say that moderator Kristen Welker did a fantastic job moderating this debate so that instead of these types of conversations, you could get to something more substantive.
Yeah, Kristen Welker did a really good job keeping the debate moving along, making sure that the questions were clear and that both candidates addressed the questions to the best of their ability without talking over each other, allowing the audience and the viewing public to hear what was actually going on. I thought she did a really good job. I think the addition of a mute button really helped. It allowed the candidates to at least get across their platform for a couple of minutes before going into the exchange. And I think President Trump's advisors also advised him that the first debate in which he was constantly interrupting Joe Biden and not allowing him to finish his sentences and really kind of verbally bullying Biden did not come off particularly well on television, especially for moderate voters and the people that he's trying to win over. So I think it was a combination of the rule change from the debate commission, as well as President Trump's advisors advising him to maybe tone it down a little bit and try to come across as a little bit more of a steady leader. And I think both of those things, in addition to Kristen Welker's really masterful performance, really helped the debate to be at least a clear contrast of the two visions of the two candidates. And now it's up to the voters to decide which one they like.
Very briefly from both of you, just want to switch very quickly to the Supreme Court. The full Senate's likely to confirm Judge Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court on Monday. Rick, what would you say about what Democrats can and might do to push back?
Well, they're not going to be able to block her from the court. But what's striking is how quickly that vote could matter. It could matter in pre-election and post-election disputes in the Obamacare hearing. Amy Coney Barrett is going to be in the middle of some of the most explosive debates in politics almost from the moment she gets sworn in.
Rick Klein, political director at ABC. Tolu Olorunipa is White House reporter for The Washington Post. Nice to speak with both of you. Thank you.
Thank you.